Welcome to Empire Building, the podcast where we talk about building big businesses and even bigger lives. I'm your co-host, Seychelle Van Poole.
And I'm Kimber Lovett-Vincitti. And I love it, Say, we get to have another episode together. It's always fun to get to chat with you about what's happening in the industry.
I love that because I always take so many notes and learn so many things when you and I are together. And you and I both have been in similar rooms in the last week. And I was doing leading a mastermind for a group all over the country with teams all over the place and was asking everyone, how is the market? How is everything going for you? And I had some people saying the market is insanely good and insanely fast and I can't keep up and it's really hard. And I had other people going, I can't give away my houses. It's really slow. I can't move properties. Everyone's frustrated. It's really hard. So whether you're in a really fast moving market or you're transitioning into a really slow moving market, I'm hearing it's hard on both sides right now. And so Kimber and I were having this great conversation because we both got in a while ago. I know I got in, this is my 20th year in real estate this year. I got in 2004.
You got in when you were two, say.
So I was 2 years old. I was a really young licensee. Yeah, I was 22 years old. So yeah. I was pretty young when I got into real estate.
This is my 17th year. So wow. Think about it. We got in like when people would argue that it was a really hard market. I actually heard the conversations this week. And as I get the opportunity to teach and consult a lot of agents, I was like, man, this sounds very familiar, but I was a different person. Like I was brand new. So when I heard all these people who literally agents who had been in the business multiple years, like would be like, oh my God, this is so hard. And I didn't know what they were talking about because I just jumped in and it wasn't hard, right? Like it didn't feel hard to me because I was like, well, this isn't how it's always been. And I feel like I'm excited for us to dig into how to win in the market, in any market, but really the market of today. And I think that piece and that perspective, I know for both of us, has been a big part of our journey.
I love that. You know, and I think the other reminder is if you got into real estate after 2012, you have been in this booming of a market, which comes with its own challenges. I don't want to diminish that. A booming market comes with its own set of challenges. I will tell you, when the market changes and days on market start really going up and communication with clients has to change and you have to completely switch what you're doing, what we're going to talk about today is going to be pivotal for you because there is 70 to 80% of our industry right now that has not been in a complete bear market. And I know for me, like I got in 2004 and worked with buyers when it was an insanely hot seller's market for my first 3 years. And then I was that genius in 2007 that went from a buyer's market. And I was like, forget this. The sellers are winning. I'm going to go work with sellers. And like within a month,
great timing.
It went from being a buyer. Yeah, it went from being a seller's market to a complete buyer's market. And then I was with sellers for the next 4 years. And so for my first 7 years in real estate, I actually didn't know what it felt like to be on the quote unquote winning side of a real estate transaction. But what I think that did was, to Kimber's point, we were new. I didn't know any better. I didn't know that there actually was an easy side to real estate. So I think wherever you are in your business, we're going to go over 5 key fundamentals for you to win in any market and for you to keep in mind because there's hard on every side right now, but I also want to remind you, and Kimber does too, there is extreme opportunity for you to win, grow, thrive, and succeed in any market as well. So we're going to talk about some of those things today, and I am so excited for it.
I'm super excited for it too, because I think this is really like right now, it is super timely. So if you're like a little bit down and you're like, oh my gosh, the market is making it hard for me, we're going to give you some good steps. So number one, which I think is in lots of seasons of life, right? How to win in any market and how to win at any moment. You want to get real with the reality that is around you.
Yes.
And this, I think, starts right with you. What's your mindset around it? What are the people around you? What are you listening to? What are you hearing? When I walk into a room of agents and everyone's like, oh my God, it's so hard. My first thought is like, you guys need to get in a different room because there are people, like I have an opportunity to coach some really top agents who've only been in the market a couple of years. One of whom, I mean, as phenomenal, right? Are a new 30 under 30. And like Modi's, his business is up 3 years in a row, up 20, 30, 40% every year. His reality is that the market is booming. And so making sure like who you are around, what are you hearing? What are you putting in? What are you focusing on every day? Every day, new listings hit your MLS, which means there are sellers who are ready to sell. And every day, new listings go under contract. That's the reality. And it's opportunity for you to double down and be a part of it. So get real, get right with that reality.
I love that. When I also think about, what are you saying to yourself? What affirmations do you have that are setting your mindset every day? Do you have a list of affirmations, as cheesy as it sounds sometimes? Like, do you have a list of affirmations that you are repeating back to yourself? One of my favorites is, money flows to me effortlessly. I know that sounds silly, but I'm telling you, I'm saying it right here on the podcast right now. I am not kidding you. We will have a check show up in the next week from some weird investment we made some forever ago. But every time I focus on money flowing to us effortlessly, literally business flows, cash flows, opportunity flows. And so what are the phrases that resonate with you? What is it? People love working with me. That's another great one, right? I have all the energy I need to accomplish awesome things today, right? Whatever your affirmations need to be, what are you saying to yourself on a daily basis that puts that energy into you, that fills your cup so that you can get out there and lead your big business to fund your perfect life? So I love that. Kimber, what are some of your favorite ones?
I mean, I think the affirmation side and the gratitude side, right? When things feel hard, it's like, oh my goodness, right? So I know we talk about this and sometimes you're like, oh God, like, please don't tell me another gratitude practice. And yet I realize, like, the reality or like those things cannot coexist in the same moment, right? The feeling of gratitude and the feelings of immense pain. And so being able to just take a moment that seems really hard, maybe you just lost something, maybe you just like, something didn't go right in a transaction or with a client, but then thinking, well, what did go right? What can I be grateful for today? For me, is like almost an automatic way to shift energy as I'm going through the day. And so it can be like this idea, like we're a work of art and a work in progress. And so what is the art in your world today? Like, what has happened that's beautiful? Something as simple as it's a sunny day, something as simple as like somebody passed you back a cup of coffee, whatever that looks like for you. And for me, that has been a game changer.
Huge, huge clapping over here. I absolutely love that. What is your gratitude? What are your affirmations for you to get moving? The second one, which I love, is establish what habits are helping or hurting your results, and then double down on the ones that are working. And I think about this from both a personal and a professional side of things. So on the personal side, like, what are the habits that are giving me energy, that are making me feel healthy and strong, that are, like we just talked about, like gratitude and mindset, right? That are protecting my body and my mental space. And what are the relationships that are filling me up so that I can go do what I need to do in a market that could feel hard? And so I think about the friendships that I need to be keeping close, that I need to be pouring into, that I need to be showing appreciation for and blocking time for. And then on the professional side, what are the habits that are making me the most money? And what are the habits that are losing the most money? And they're both, right? It can be spending time on people that are never going to get into production, right? And letting your C players drain all of your time and taking time away from your A players that may not be as needy, but actually need the most energy from you right now, right? Like, even something as simple as just shifting who or what gets your focus. I was talking to Mark Willis, the CEO of Keller Williams, this week, and he said, you know, if you want to change something in your world, all you have to do is start paying attention to it. So whether that is the amount of business you have, whether that is what your weight looks like, that is who's in your world and the relationships you want to attract. He said, you know, if you want to lose weight, just start writing down what you're eating, right? If you want to make more money, just start writing down where your money's coming from, right? Just start observing it. And when you start observing it, it starts creating focus. And that focus all of a sudden starts creating change in behavior. If you have to keep writing down that you ate a cheesesteak for lunch every single day and you want to lose 10 pounds, right? At some point, you're going to be like, dang it, that cheesesteak's delicious, but it is not helping my waistline. You're not going to keep writing a cheesesteak down every day without at least observing it and switching that behavior. So, you know, we have to think about that too. In our world, what habits are serving and which ones are not serving us to get us to where we want to go?
Yeah, I love that one. And for me, one of the biggest habits or sort of conditions that I've really been asking myself around is like, busyness is this badge of honor, right? That this habit of, I have a full schedule, I have so much going on. And it's that counterintuitive, it's exactly what you're talking about saying in terms of focus, do less, more, which is very counterintuitive for a lot of us. The idea is like, we are, oh my God, things are crazy. I just have to be busy. I have to keep a lot of things going on. And actually the habit for a lot of us that will be is powerful is actually creating space, time for white space, doing less, being very intentional and being very clear about the things that drive our results
that give us energy, that make us money, and ensuring when you look at your calendar and you look at your day that you are actually focusing there. And a lot of us say exactly what you said. We go to the noisiest parts of our lives, the people that are demanding our attention, which might actually not be demanding or returning your result. And so when you get real about that and you say, hey, I'm actually going to really get focused on the activities that are proven to get to the result in my personal life and my professional life. And if it's more than three, it's too many. Like really say, hey, if I want to build a really big world in this season, I'm actually going to have to go really small. And I'm going to have to be really clear and really focused on what I'm going to accomplish. Most of us, because we're your high performers, and if you're like me, you might be a little bit of a perfectionist. And so you actually got to do less and say no more.
And that's such a huge mic drop in what you're saying for both having the space to do what you need, but also to have room for the surprises. Like if you are filled all the way up, I mean, I think about the last couple of years that you and I both have been in personally, we didn't have the space or the capacity for the chaos that was coming our way. And it forced us to say no to a lot of things. And Nick and I were literally just having the conversation yesterday of like, Seychelle, don't go fill that right back up. And it was such a good reminder from him that we have to do less more. So I appreciate you saying that because that's something Nick and I were literally talking about yesterday. So thank you for that.
Yeah. And that was a Mark Willis classic too. So Mark's inspiring a lot of us today.
Hello, Mark. You're welcome to our podcast today.
Exactly. You're helping us win in any market. So I think when you think about that, sometimes doing less more means that you have to ask for help. You have to go to your team. You have to get your clients involved. You have to get the people in your life involved because that might mean you're going to get more focused. And sometimes we can't necessarily say no to something completely, but maybe it's created an opportunity for somebody else, or it's not right now, or I need to pause that so that I can get really focused on those other outcomes. And I know for me, like we're actually doing a fun little competition as we get ready for our very own Sarah's big 40th birthday coming up. And so she's got us on this amazing, fabulous life and health competition. And we've got we've got this challenge of 10,000 steps a day. And so I told Carter, who's my 12-year-old, that I had this challenge. And he was like, can I do it with you? And so it's been the best accountability partner. I got home last night after a very long day. I had only walked 4,000 steps or moved 4,000 steps. And I was just like, I'd given up. I was like, well, clearly I'm out for today. And he was like, well, Mom, I've already done my 10,000 steps because he had been on a field trip in Philadelphia. He was like, but I'll go out with you and walk now. Keep in mind, it's like 8:30 at night and I've got 6,000 steps to walk. And we walked and hit 10,000 steps. And so it was so cool.
Oh, my gosh.
He was very proud to have 16,000. But it was awesome, right? Asking for, I didn't even know that sometimes just sharing a goal or a priority you have in your life gives other people an opportunity to be support. So I think asking for help sometimes directly, but also naming a problem named is a problem solved. So when you say, hey, this is what I'm working on, sometimes the universe, like you said, say money flows to me, is going to help conspire for you to achieve it.
This has been such a big growth area in my world because I always thought you just had to buckle down and just figure it out and do more and, be more. And if you work hard enough and enough hours, regardless of whether or not it's a personal or a professional goal, you'll just figure it out. And, when the last couple of years happened and I couldn't do it by myself. And I really had to start learning how to ask for help. This is a big journey I am on, because I do have a high capacity and a bandwidth. And so the easiest natural thing feels like, well, I should just figure it out and do it. But I'm robbing somebody else of the joy of helping to achieve a goal. I'm also limiting somebody else's opportunity by not giving them the opportunity to take things on. And so I'm having to put in major habits in my life to physically slow down and ask for help because my processing speed is so high, I can just do it and I don't need to. So that's been a big, big lesson for me is I have to slow down actually and break it down and ask for the help that I need and the support that I need. And I love your example with Carter of like bringing people into the fold with you and naming what the problem is or the challenge is so that other people can buy in with you. That for me, this is like an active fail forward right now for me, for sure.
Yeah. And I think when you are such a high achiever and high performer and you are like one of my idols and how you, given everything you have going on, you're right there. You are the person who is observant and aware and checking in with everybody else. And like you are so naturally and effortlessly that support for so many other people. And I find that sometimes when you're that, it means it's harder to receive it.
Yes.
Because you're used to just being the person that gives it. And so you give it so freely and it comes so naturally that it's almost very uncomfortable to create a space where somebody else can do that and be that for you. So I love that you're on that journey.
My stomach literally just got uncomfortable as you said that, literally just now got uncomfortable. But yes, you're right. It is something that I am actively working on and I am going to continue to get better at that and it will become a superpower of mine. It's not right now. And I know that there's a lot of beauty on the other side of that. And a great example that I get to be for Quinn too, because that's something I want to model for her too.
Well, naming it allows all of us to help you. So if you're listening, Ray.
Thank you. Yes.
Jump in. When you see say, you're like, wait a minute, you don't need to do that. I could do that.
Thank you. And I do need that because it's, I think I'll just do it. So yeah,
you're a fixer.
I literally have to slow down. I am.
Well, it's when a superpower overused can actually be a challenge. And I think sometimes for us, when you have a high ceiling of achievement and you are an achiever and where you've gotten to in your life is the result of what you've done. And yet it could be holding you back from the next mountain of greatness. And I think it's one of the hardest things to realize, recognize, and want to work on. So I celebrate that you are on that journey.
I am receiving that. And I'm going to say it one more time to amplify you on that. A superpower overused can become your weakness. And that is absolutely the truth with something like this. So I really appreciate that. The fourth one here to win in any market is measure the results you're wanting to see change and make sure you communicate the process. So many times in a challenging market, we set out a competition, we put out this goal, and then we just kind of never revisit it again, or we don't check in on the progress on it. And so the two things on our team that we've been really working hard is number one, measuring the leading indicator that we want to see. Because sometimes let's just use real estate for an example here. If I'm measuring how many sales I want to make, well, that's a lagging indicator because there's a lot of steps that needed to have happened before the sale occurred. Or let's say you're in a company and you're like, I want to grow by 30 people, so I'm going to measure the number of hires I made. Well, that may not actually be the right goal to measure when you're trying to change behavior and habits. And so you might need to move it up the funnel. So for us, we're measuring the number of conversations we're having and the number of appointments that we're having instead of the number of closings right now, really heavily in creating activity and competitions around that, because we know that that activity, when done at a high level, will lead to the closings that we want. But we have to change the activity first. And so name the results you want to see, make sure you're measuring the right activity, and then make sure you're communicating the progress around that so that you're checking in. So like every Tuesday, Friday, we're putting out in the competition where we are in the process so that people can see the leaderboard and know where they're at.
I love it. Well, and that literally takes us to the last one, which is that when you know what you're measuring, when you have a leaderboard, when you're measuring it, it gives you the opportunity to stop and to celebrate each of those wins along the journey. And this really does. It creates dopamine in our bodies to keep going. And, you know, I get a unique opportunity as a brokerage leader to interview a lot of people on the way out, right? Whether they're leaving a team, whether they're leaving a brokerage to go somewhere else, whether an employee, whatever. I get to do a lot of exit interviews. And there is a theme, even from people who say that, like, recognition doesn't really matter to me. I don't know that I've had a conversation where it hasn't been in the top three. It comes up in terms of like not feeling appreciated, not feeling celebrated, feeling like they were grinding it out, especially in markets that are challenging. And sometimes the way to help your team win is, I know we've got a powerful group of empire builders who are our listeners, is actually looking for ways, both as the leader, to celebrate your small wins and successes. Where did you win the day? And then recognize those small wins in your team, and not just see them, but also like really find ways to recognize and celebrate them. And that doesn't always have to be like a big party. It can be an email, a text message, a leaderboard that you send out once a week. It can be, you know, these competitions we talk about could literally be for lunch, right? Like it could be for something that is just a way to create energy and recognition and focus on the activities and behaviors and leading indicators that we want to encourage more of.
I love that. And yeah, it's everyone wants to feel seen and appreciated. And if this is not a natural superpower of yours, this is a habit you can put on your calendar so that it represents an opportunity to get better at it. And so it could be as little as 10 minutes, you know, a couple times a week where you're going through and looking for where the wins are and making sure to communicate those out and celebrate them either in a group setting or in a one-to-one. Because everyone likes to look good in front of a big group. Everyone likes to be celebrated on a one-to-one. So whatever that person's love language is on your team, make sure you're taking the time to fill your cup up and also fill theirs, because that's how loyalty and longevity happen in companies. So I love that.
I love that. Loyalty and longevity. And ultimately, it's also a gratitude practice.
Yes.
So being able to recognize and speak power into your team for the places that they're winning or the people in your personal life, think like it is a practice that for me has just created such energy for me and appreciation for the work that my team's doing, especially when we might not be seeing it, the big results that we've seen in the past, or the lagging indicator is slow to show up. Then you're really saying, hey, get back in there. You did a good job. You met with these people. You made 10 calls. Like, that creates that space for everybody. And I love loyalty, longevity as you're winning in any market.
I love it. Well, you guys, this has been another powerful episode, and I love that we got to focus on how to win in any market today. So if you are listening to this and it's something that you found valuable, please share it with a friend or leave us a 5-star rating and review, because we really do read those and we love it when people leave them for us. And if you didn't like this episode, then maybe just send us a note in private instead.
Don't talk to us.
Don't write a bad review. Just email us. We'll work on it with you. I'm just teasing. But no, we do really appreciate you joining us today. And if this speaks to you and you feel like I need more of Kimber and Seychelles in my life, make sure to get your ticket for Her Best Life's flagship event in Miami to come join us there as well, because that is awesome.
Yes. And we, I'm sure you've heard the announcements, right? We announced a couple weeks ago Brianna Wiest as our keynote speaker. Yes. Her books are amazing, but The Mountain Is You, like, right, really looking at spaces that you can win in your life. And I know Say and I and our entire ownership group are just so excited for this opportunity and for the power that she's going to bring into that room. So if you need some motivation for how you're winning in any market and really any season of your life, then we would love to see you joining us in Miami.
I love it. All right, guys, go out there and build a big business and an even bigger life, and we'll catch you next week. Bye, guys.
Bye.
This podcast is for general informational purposes only. The views, thoughts, and opinions of the guest represent those of the guest and not KWRI and its affiliates, and should not be construed as financial, economic, legal, tax, or other advice. This podcast is provided without any warranty or guarantee of its accuracy, completeness, timeliness, or results from using the information.